Welcome to A Brighter Day in the Neighborhood with your host, Angela Jones. Presented by Brighter Day Law, listen to the stories of the people who make Colorado Springs a great place to live and make our world better every day. We want to give back to those who give so much to us.
It's a beautiful Sunday morning here in Colorado Springs, and you're joining A Brighter Day in the Neighborhood, and your host, Angela Jones. Our program is sponsored by Brighter Day Law, and today we have a special treat, and I know I say that, but I am not even kidding with you. I'm one of my favorite people in the whole wide world. Is joining us today, Chris Gosnell.
Well, thank you. That was so very kind.
No, it's you're the one who's generous for sharing your time and always your expertise with us over at Brighter Day Law. So I want to make sure to give our listeners context for what it is you do. And even though that's not what our show's about, of course, we want to just spend time getting to know you better. You are a videographer and photographer.
Yes.
And editor.
Yes.
And your primary calling, or at least the way that you're operationalizing that, is through helping businesses give a glimpse into who they are and what they do to help connect them and their ideal customer.
That's exactly it. Connecting with your client. As folks are going to look you up online. That's just it. They are. And they can see a website with lots of words, and that's it. Or some pictures, God forbid, stock images. But if they come out and they see video of who you are, and they hear your voice, they see you, they feel like they've met you. It's that nice celebrity factor. And I like that a lot. So I'm kind of capitalizing on that portion. Because then, say they've gone on your website and they saw an intro of who you are and what you do. They saw videos about your different services. And a video on frequently asked questions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do you think they're going to call you now?
Yeah.
They've gone through all those things. They've educated themselves about a lot about your services.
Right.
And they're like, okay, now I'm going to call you.
So how did you, you know, get into that path? Like, where did you start before you went down that? Because I know that's not been where you always have worked as a professional.
I just flipped over the calendar at 16 years in business this month. So that was a big one. I started off as a still photographer, doing a lot of weddings and portraits. And I love that work. I really do love capturing history and people history, not just, okay, hey, this happened, people history.
Right.
I like that. And it started with, honestly, sitting with my grandma.
Mm.
She's going through family albums, all these old black and white pictures, you know, just old pictures. And she'd flip it over and say, oh, this is your great aunt, blah, blah, blah. And she wrote on the back of it, and she would tell me the story about that person. One picture where they're just sitting there looking very stoic. And then there's this whole story about who they were.
Right.
And that so captured me. That, and of course, reading the Bible. I have to say, as a kid, I grew up Baptist, so they really get the word in you, big time.
Right.
And hearing the stories where here's somebody's life, and it's just completely summed up.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe like David, it went more into it. You know, David's my Bible boyfriend going on with that. You know?
Okay, yeah, your Bible crush going on.
So hearing that and thinking, okay, lives matter. People remember things about you. And the photography just stuck with me because it's like, oh, yeah, this is so-and-so. And you think of a story. That's what got me into it way back when.
So it's always been about the storytelling.
It's been about storytelling.
Okay. And so in that same vein, what is your story?
Oh, my. Let's see. Where do we want to start with this? Fun childhood. A little crazy. A little weird.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I had a hippie mama.
Okay.
My parents met in the Haight District in San Francisco in the late 60s.
Okay.
And my dad was a good old boy, straight boy, no messing. But his younger brother wanted to go to San Francisco and see all the hippie stuff.
Okay.
So after the Summer of Love, after all that, he wanted to go. So what good big brother is not going to let their little brother just go by themselves?
Right, right.
So they go from Florida out to California. Long story, much shorter. My parents met, got together, and he took her back home to the
Florida?
South. And it was like, okay, then they had me not very long after that.
So you were actually born in Florida?
I was actually born in California.
Okay.
Because a few months right before my mother was due, she all of a sudden got this what am I doing? I'm having a baby. Oh my gosh, I need my mother. I have to have my mother.
Okay.
So they drove out to California again.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, had me. And then there was like, oh yeah, there's a reason we don't live in California.
And then drove back. So were you raised in Florida then in your tender years?
For a little bit. Then they moved to New Mexico, Carlsbad.
Okay.
And then my parents divorced. And I lived with my mom in Carlsbad. She loved it. I kind of feel that. She always said she never wanted to leave.
Mm-hmm.
She did, but she never wanted to leave.
Right.
I kind of feel that way about Colorado Springs. I like this town. It's just big enough to have things that are necessary, small enough to still, like, know people when you walk to places and go to the store and, hey, how you doing? I love it.
Right.
And then I moved to Florida, back to Florida, to go live with my dad for a little while. And then spent my later teen years and 20s, then moved here to Colorado.
What part of Florida? And the reason
Orlando.
I'm so intent on that is because I'm from Florida.
Yeah, what part?
So I'm from Northeast Florida, near Gainesville area.
Oh,
so north of Orlando. Yeah. No, you're not.
Uh-huh.
What is even happening right now? Nobody can see this who's listening, but there's a chop going on
by the Seminoles.
Uh-huh. And in I'm sure you love to be a gator hater, you know. Uh-huh. We got and I'm the chomp right back in your direction.
You go right at it. I didn't go there, but you know, I have a lot of friends that did, and it's like, okay, fine, you know what, we'll go Knowles. Whatever.
That's funny. I have one of my most of my family are big gator fans, and so and I have one aunt who went to Florida State, and then we'll be chomp chomp. She's like, chomp chomp. We're like, whatever, you know. But I went to University of Tennessee, and so when I was up at University of Tennessee, Peyton Manning was the quarterback there. He was in undergraduate school when I was in law school. And my dad loved it when the Gators would play the Volunteers because I don't know if you know much of your history in terms of
I do not.
Well, Peyton never was able to beat Florida.
Ooh.
When he was quarterback, the Volunteers never beat Florida. So that was this big thing that, you know, he enjoyed just giving me the business over. And I don't know that everybody, you know, outside of the South has that same, you know, massive enjoyment of giving people a hard time over college football team affiliations. But
and I'm not sure if they get into it as much as they do down South.
I know. It's like a religion.
It totally is. It's its own season.
It's like, you know, no, I'm not going to be doing that. It's football season.
Right.
You know?
Right.
What's going on in October? Wait, is that worth missing the game? You know, so.
Absolutely.
So you said you relocated to Colorado. Mm-hmm. But about what time frame was that?
It was 20 years ago, actually.
Okay. All right.
Came 2001 in May. So we were here for a few months and then 9/11 happened.
Mm.
And that was pretty crazy.
Right.
Of course, 9/11 happens and we're thinking,
right.
You know, crazy, because we're thinking we have all these military installments.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen? We didn't know at the beginning what was happening.
Right. Where were you? Do you remember kind of like
I was driving,
where you were and what was happening?
Yeah, I was driving into work. And at the time I worked for ministry, which is how I moved here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I worked for Messenger International, which is in Palmer Lake.
Okay.
And that's how I got here, actually, from Florida. I worked there in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And then they moved here and they invited anyone who wanted to come move. And I was like, let me think. And came out here. I was driving on my way to work and I hear on the radio, no kidding, it sounded like the War of the Worlds, you know,
mm-hmm.
Because I remember hearing that they played it, and the people who didn't realize it was actually like a book and it was a theatrical thing, they really thought it was happening. And people were like committing suicide and doing all these crazy things, thinking the War of the Worlds was happening it was playing on the radio.
Wow.
And I thought it was something like that. And I was like, certainly, this can't be happening.
Right. Like,
and
this isn't dramatization
real.
Or
right,
something.
Absolutely. It wasn't real.
Right.
Sure enough, I get to the office, we turn on some televisions, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this really is happening.
Mm.
It's crazy.
So I have a son, William. He turns 20 on Monday.
Mm.
And I remember I was home, like, you know, on the tail end of like maternity leave.
I was going to say,
When that happened. And I can remember... I was sitting, you know, there with him, you know, holding him, feeding him, you know, real little. And my husband, I think he had gone in a little late for whatever reason, gone in a little late to work, and he was stationed, in a military assignment where we were, and we dropped our oldest son off for school. Mm-hmm. And he flipped the TV on, because I would never watch news or whatever, but he flipped the television on, and the news was on, and I was sitting there watching, then all of a sudden it was like, you know, this news story comes in. And I remember looking at it and thinking, that plane just turned into. And so I yelled at my husband. I'm like, I think this plane. And he came in, no, you know, it's got to be. So we're standing there like everybody else, sort of watching. And what is happening? It was so surreal. And, you know, he kept explaining to me how, no, it must have been some type of accident. And that's about when the second plane came into the live view. And that day was just...
That was crazy.
It was super crazy. But it kind of reminds me, it's like, you know, all the changes that came, you know, 20 years ago, all the changes that came in the wake of that. And I remember feeling like, kind of like how it was last year, nothing would ever feel or be normal again.
Right.
And, you know, how have you dealt with, you know, sort of like you move here and there's this, you know, world changing event. And then, you know, 20 years later, you've been here and, you know, through another world changing event. How's that affected you?
Oh, wow. Problem solving. Mm. That's really been it. When 9/11 happened, we were heading out to Florida again for a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to happen 3 days after. Three, 4 days? Mm-hmm. Was within a week. It was very, very quick.
Right.
And of course, everything shut down. You couldn't fly. You couldn't, you know, you could only ground travel and that was it.
Right.
F-16s or whatever they are in the sky. And I'm thinking, I'm being good, I promise.
Right. Right.
Couldn't leave. And we kept thinking, oh my gosh, we had no idea when things were going to open up.
Mm-hmm.
So problem solving, we were thinking, okay, do we hang here for a couple of days and see if it does? Do we rent a car and start driving? What do we do?
Mm-hmm.
Had to be at this wedding. And, things did open up just in time. We got there the day before, the night before the wedding, which was great. Same thing with this pandemic. I do a lot of video and photography in my studio. So I do a lot of headshots, business headshots, and a lot of video in my studio.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, I'm non-essential and I don't have a job. Then I'm thinking, oh, well, all right. Well, I can edit. This is part of what I do.
Right, right.
All the time. Now I just need to tell people, oh, yeah, that's right. This is what I do. And start offering that as a service and actually talking about it very specifically. And that helped a lot because then that helped me to turn around and refocus on a slightly smaller niche in my clients. I work with a lot of solo entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of just this very broad solo entrepreneurs, which it's only broad when you start niching down, right?
Right.
And then it's like, okay, coaches, trainers, speakers, people who are making a lot of video, they have a lot of video and they don't have time to be editing.
Right, right.
Okay, I can help them repurpose because I understand that. I understand how to take this big old chunk of whatever workshop, say for instance, radio interview that you're filming, and break that down into smaller pieces, put it on social media, maybe even break it down into bigger pieces for blog posts and thoughts, big ideas. Okay, let's just repurpose what you already have.
Well, I want to delve into a little bit more of that problem solving, the pivoting, and also this idea of like, you know, reimagining, because I think that's really kind of what you're talking about, the application of reimagination.
Yes.
But really those driving aspects of your personality that make you most suited to do that. I want to remind our listeners, though, that you're listening to A Brighter Day in the Neighborhood, and our guest is Chris Gosnell. So what we were just kind of touching on is this, you know, you said problem solving, but, you know, and it's kind of a buzzword. I heard pivoting. It's sort of like, well, I used to do things this way, but, you know, some people, when a problem comes up, they see it as a real obstacle. Other people see it as an opportunity. Mm-hmm. And what I'm hearing is that you're taking it as an opportunity, which to me, is in alignment with what I've always known, you know, you to have. I think we've been friends for about 7 years of just a real optimism.
Yeah.
You're very cheerful, optimistic. You know, In fact, I don't think I've ever seen you when you weren't smiling. You know what I mean? So, and I really like that. But I know even people who smile all the time and who make other people laugh all the time, you know, are not necessarily, you know, buoyant and bubbly all the time. It takes work in terms of that, you know, maintaining that, keeping that decision to be happy, you know.
Absolutely. It's totally a decision.
Right. And so I want you to talk about that. And also, like, you know, where you picked up this habit, because I think that's what it is, this habit of looking at difficulties, problems, even failures as an opportunity.
I am a Christian. Mm-hmm. Definitely Christ follower, doing the very best there. And I look at life in very general from the very beginning. It was very plain in the Bible. God made us in his image.
Mm-hmm.
We are creative because he creates the entire world we live
mm-hmm,
in.
Mm-hmm.
If he is that creative and he made us in his image, how creative are we?
Right.
I mean, come on.
Right.
Now, everybody has a different personality.
Mm-hmm.
You, I can imagine, simply because you're an attorney,
mm-hmm.
Are very detail-oriented.
I can be.
You can be. It's not really my strong suit.
Okay.
I can do it
okay.
because I need a certain element of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wildly creative. My imagination, it was really great growing up as an only child. It was really fun.
Right. Had lots of friends of your own.
I totally did. My own making.
Of your own design.
So I look at it that way. And so when it comes to things like that, I'm like, all right, Lord, this pandemic was not a surprise to you.
Mm-hmm.
What am I going to do?
Right.
How am I going to change things? I'm not going to sit here and rail against the government and be like, rah, 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 because I can only imagine what they're going through.
Right, right.
I only have my little world to deal with in comparison to a government to run. Fine. If that's what we need to do, that's what we can do.
Right.
This is not unusual. Mm-hmm. This is not weird to God. He's the one who's been around and saw all these other pandemics where we're thinking, huh? And he's like going, I got this. Don't worry about it. Okay, great. What can we do to make it different?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really where it started. That's where it starts from is the, all right, how can I make this different? And I've done that since day one. Photography, I love it. You asked me, sorry, a while back what
right.
got me into it.
Right.
It was the love of story. So I started off with as a still photographer. Mm-hmm. I went to school too. Mm-hmm. I went to the Art Institute and no teams, no sports. They're a bunch of artists. They don't do sports,
mm-hmm.
you know. But even then I was like, all right, what do I have that's different?
Right.
How can I make my mark in the world?
Right.
What am I absolutely aligned to do?
Mm-hmm.
And how do I do it? And it started off with that love of people, just mm-hmm. straight up loving God, love people. And what is it about life that I enjoy so much? And what do I want to capture?
Right.
I loved doing weddings and portraits. Man, I did. But everybody does weddings and portraits.
Right.
Quite literally, I was sitting in a BNI meeting, which is one of the ones where we met years
mm-hmm,
ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, okay, my business is not taking off. And I'm a pretty good photographer. All
mm-hmm.
right. I'm not ashamed of my product.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all. Why is this not working? And I'm looking around the room and I'm not seeing young people getting married,
mm-hmm.
young folks who are having kids.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing people my age who run businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, duh, I'm serving the wrong client.
Right.
Duh. I mean, it was just
right.
that straightforward. So just started focusing on a different clientele. And that, again, was just another way to do it. Because I'm sitting there going, God, why? Why is this not working? And then just like revelation. Okay, that's why. I need to serve this customer, different customer. Same ideas. What's in a business? What's happening? Why are they doing what they do?
Mm-hmm.
And how can I help them show that to their clients and then
right.
connect with their clients because of that.
Right.
I love doing it. I absolutely do.
So, well, in that kind of, you know, takes me along the line of like that finding your purpose, like, you know, finding what it is that each of us is uniquely, you know, I don't know. And I would agree with you, crafted to do. Like we all are, you know, unique. I tell my kids, you know, yep, you're unique just like everybody else.
Oh, I say that all the time.
Yeah, you're special. So, I mean, but that's the thing is that You know, I think we really all do bring something very unique to the table. I mean, even let's just say there was someone identical to us. They're not in, you know, living in this identical time and space with the same, you know, sphere of influence or, you know, responsibility and, you know, same opportunities and things of that nature. And I've always kind of fallen back on the, you know, for such a time as this, you know, and, you know, but I think it's really interesting that, you know, where your faith has made this, you know, clear intersection with your profession. And you've moved from, you know, something that I guess people would think of more as like a traditional ministry, you know, helping profession, to ministering to other folks, folks who have committed their lives to serving the people they're called to serve.
Absolutely.
And what are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. God. And it's not just one thing, because I'm sure that you've done many other things and you're multi-talented and multi-passioned. There's just, everybody is like that. I don't really think it's ever one thing and one thing only. And even if it is, like my discipline happens to be holding a camera. There's a couple different things that camera can do.
Right.
And I can make it do different things.
Right.
For different reasons. Same ideas. It's like God just has us here on this planet for so many things, and it's not just one. And it's not for life. Like, you're going to do one thing and one thing only for the rest of your life until you die. Hope you like it. That's just not the way he works.
You know? And that's really interesting because, you know, you're right that, you know, I mean, I went to law school, you know, in the mid-90s, and then I practiced law for a number of years, and then I was home with my kids and moving with the military and did the military spouse thing. And that was really one of those things. I mean, I ran, you know, a couple small businesses and, you know, assisted other people with their legal work or with their businesses along the way. But eventually it came down to, you know, all right, I want to go back and practice law. I want to do, you know, what I, you know, put all the time, effort, attention into developing. And I think there was that fear, you know, of having been out of it for a period of time. That, you know, when I go back, you know, am I going to be able to succeed at it? You know, have things changed a lot? And I think it's real interesting, like what you were saying about, you know, things happen for a season, and when you are called to a thing and when you are designed for a thing, then, you know, in many ways that path, if you're looking for it, if you're open to it, it just unfolds itself in front of you. And like my background was business litigation, commercial litigation, employment law.
Interesting.
And I came back to Colorado Springs and I did real estate litigation. And I ended up getting into family law, which ties back to what I was in school for before I went to law school, which was social work. And so I never really considered doing, you know, taking the family law route, but that's what really opened up to me, and that's where I have found the greatest joy and the ability to make the most impact, but also to use the experience and, you know, insight and that I gained in these other seasons, and especially understanding, like, you know, the life of a military family and the transitions that people go through, to be able to, you know, put this business together the way that I have, and, you know, inviting, you know, our firm is growing, really quite, you know, exponentially, and, you know, to be able to employ people who are also called to serve those same folks.
Yes, that's awesome. I love that.
Well, and I mean, and I think, you know, what I, you know, love about, like, what's so parallel about, you know, kind of like where we're both coming from, it's that being open to, because if I, you know, like if you had just said, you know, look, I'm a photographer. I'm a wedding photographer.
Yeah.
And, you know, continue to be tread up against the wall. Or, okay, wait, I'm only a still photographer.
Right.
And, you know, gosh, what's going on? I'm a still photographer. You made me to be a still photographer.
That's
right.
It.
But instead, it's like, wait a second. What do people need? What
That's
do
exactly
people in
it.
My community need? What do people who are around me need? And how is it that I have been equipped to serve?
And that was exactly it. almost word for word. In my mind, it was that, yeah, exactly. What do people need? Oh, who's around me? Mm-hmm. I'm not around these young people getting married. Mm-hmm. I'm around older folks, and they're business people. Okay, what do business people need? And I started off with headshots, still photography. That's what I knew. That's mm-hmm. what I was really great at. That's what mm-hmm. I'm trained in. And the more that I kept asking that question, because it's not a one-time question, is it?
No.
You know?
No.
Come on, your career proves it too.
Right, right. And I think what's so encouraging to me about it is if there's anybody listening who's sort of in that space of, you know, okay, this didn't work out, or, hey, you know, this change is coming, mm-hmm. what now, is, you know, for me, just that encouragement to know that it's like, if you're open,
yes,
then, you know, the world really is your oyster. There's only good things likely to come.
And I hear so many people on that same track thinking it's either right or it's wrong. It's a yes or a no. Yeah, kind of. But if it's a no, like say you tried something and it didn't work, mm-hmm. you learn from that and you pick up and you go on. There's a pastor in Kansas City, Mike Pickle, I love. And there's something about him, he just keeps saying, I'm just going to sign up again. You mess up and you just sign up again. I'm going to do this great. And I love that idea. Just, mm-hmm. okay, all right, so that didn't work. What can I learn from it? Let's just keep going. Don't wallow. Don't freak out. Just, if you need to freak out for a minute mm-hmm. and go on. Just keep moving.
Right.
And I'm thinking, there's just so much maturing to learn from things like that. And growth, just so much of, okay, I'm a better photographer now than I think I ever have been. I'm not stuck in one mode of doing things. When it came to what do my clients need, they need video.
Right.
They need to be able to tell their story better than one frame.
Right.
Okay, can I do that? Oh, hey, now cameras come out with video. That's how long I've been in business. They didn't have video for a long time. Mm-hmm. Now they do, and that's normal now, but it wasn't then. I want to learn how to use this because I already know how to use the tool. I already mm-hmm. know how to set it up. I know how to light it. How do I do that? Okay, right. Let's do it.
Right.
And then I say I taught myself, but I have a mentor. So I learned a lot and taught myself a lot of things. Then it was, I run it by a mentor. Take a look at this work. What do you think of this? And he's like, oh, that's really great. Now you could do this, 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 and this different. Great. Okay. You know?
I love that.
Isn't that just awesome?
Yeah. It's almost like that failing forward or mm-hmm. accepting that, you know, that you're going to need to learn to succeed. But we're running up against the end of the half hour. I want to give you an opportunity to let people know how to get in touch with you.
My business, my website is my name, chrisgosnell.com. And you can check me out on Instagram, Facebook, drop me a line, slide in my DMs, give me a call.
Slide in your DMs. You're so hip. Thank you so much, Chris, for sharing yourself and your time with us. It's been a wonderful, brighter day in the neighborhood episode today. We appreciate you joining us so much this week and every week. And we look forward to you tuning in next week with us. Until then, see y'all.
This has been A Brighter Day in the Neighborhood, presented by Brighter Day Law. Heard every Sunday at 11 a.m. on KPPF, 98.5 FM, 1040 AM, and 95.7 FM. Listen to the companion podcast on Podbean. Brighter Day Law are an experienced and qualified team of divorce and family law attorneys. Their aim is to help you get through that emotional and challenging time of divorce and other family disputes. The mission of Brighter Day Law is to compassionately help families resolve their disputes with personalized legal representation while keeping the best interest of the entire family at heart. Their attorneys handle all kinds of family law cases, including child custody, divorce, high asset divorce, mediation, and alimony. Brighter Day Law, compassionate counsel in dark and stressful times. 225-4493 or at brighterdaylaw.com.